seal from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son told us that he did not come to abolish the law, to fulfill the law. Father, you desire, your will is for us to keep your commandments. And Lord, sometimes because of who we are, or who we were, I should say, who we struggle to be, being saint and sinner, Lord, your law is hard to keep. Help us to love your law, but to also love your grace and know that it is by grace that we are saved. It is by grace that we have life. Lord, you've called us to be salt and light. Help us to be salty and shine that light to our community around us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Imagine for a second, just for a second, that you work at a retail store. It's a big retail store. And in the back room, you have a spill station that is required by OSHA. And it needs to have all the equipment there, specifically gloves and special disposable plastic bags in case something toxic spills. And it has its own dustpan and broom. There's other dustpans and brooms in the store, but this is for the spill station in case something happens, right? And it's back there. You're out working in the front, and a customer drops something that is glass, and it shatters. And you realize, I need to pick this glass up quickly, because broken glass can be dangerous. We live in Oceanside, by the way. A lot of people wear sandals, too. And there's little kids in the store. We want to get this glass up. So you quickly work your way back, and you're looking for a dustpan and a broom. You don't see one, but you see it at the OSHA spill station. And so you go and you grab that broom, and you grab that dustpan, go up there and you do your job and you sweep up that glass, and then you take that dustpan and that glass and you dump that glass in the garbage can. And as you go to hang back the dustpan and the broom, your manager says to you, you should have used another broom and dustpan. If we were to be inspected and they didn't see our broom and our dustpan at that spill station, we would have had an audit point and gotten dinged. Wait a second. You mean that getting the broken glass up wasn't more important than, you know, it was more important to leave that broom and that dustpan up on that wall than it was to get the glass up? Even though I couldn't find another broom and dustpan? It's funny how rules work. How the law works. We were more concerned about being in trouble from OSHA than we were about someone getting cut with broken glass. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we do with the law of God oftentimes. We don't want to be in trouble, and we want to make sure that we look good. But when it comes to actually living out the law, boy, do we fall short when it comes to actually loving our neighbor. By the way, that story that I told you about the dustpan and the broom and the OSHA stand that you're not getting audited and being told by the manager, next time find another broom and a dustpan, that actually happened. I didn't just make that up. That happened. And I'm not faulting that manager. That's just how human beings are. And it was a funny situation. Are you more worried about how you look, or are you more worried about your neighbor's well-being? That's a good question to ask today, right? Are you more worried about how you look, or are you more worried about your neighbor's well-being? Jesus is preaching perhaps his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he began it, this wonderful message from the Beatitudes. Blessed are you who mourn, because you will be comforted. Blessed are you who thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake. For yours is the kingdom of heaven, right? Jesus was giving us grace and telling us about his love, that we are here, that he is here to heal us. Jesus is our light, right? He is the light of the world. He says that in another gospel, that was quoted in the Gospel of John. I am the light of the world. And if we look at that lens that Jesus is the light of the world, he also says to us that we are the light of the world. He says, you're the light of the world. And don't hide your light under a shade, right? When you put a light on your house or a lamp on, you want it to cover the whole room so you can see it. So you never cover it up. He's asking you, don't cover your light. And what's this about being salt? Usually when I think of someone, oh, you're salty, I kind of think of like maybe someone who is kind of a little bit crusty and hard in nature, you know. He's very rigid in how he acts. That's not what Jesus is saying if you describe it as being, oh, when he says you're salt, you're the salt of the earth. I know that some of you probably have had reports from your doctor saying, lay off the salt, right? And that's probably because the salt that we have today is probably filled with so much junk and garbage that it's not good for us. But more natural, pure salt that was probably used back then, it added seasoning and flavor, but it also was used to preserve food and keep it good. And it was actually good for you. And that salt, so here we are, as Jesus is saying, you're the salt of the earth. You are here to preserve what is good. You are here to give flavor into a very bitter world. So Jesus says, blessed are you who are struggling in this world, because you're going to receive all these blessings from me. And now he's transitioning us into this fact. And now that you have received this, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And how do we shine this light? How do we not lose our saltiness where we're going to be thrown out and trampled over? Well, Jesus says it's by looking at his law. It's about looking at his word. And to be fair, he doesn't just say the law as in the Ten Commandments. He says the law and the prophets, meaning the first five books of the Bible, which Torah, which it gets translated into law, can actually be more accurately translated as instruction. God's instruction. And there is grace in the first five books of the Bible. It's not all law. In fact, there's a lot of grace. But he's talking about his first five books of the Bible, the law, the Pentateuch. And he's talking about the prophets, which was from Joshua to what we would call Malachi in our Bibles. And he says, I have not come to abolish those things, but I have come to fulfill them. Meaning God wants us to obey still and follow his rule and follow his guide and be obedient to him. because God is good. Now, one of the problems that we run into when we talk about following God's law, and if we were to point to what is now known as the Old Testament, what do a lot of people in the world think about God in the Old Testament? I hear a lot of well-meaning people who are by no means enemies of the church, but aren't part of the church, say, oh yeah, Christianity got a good update with the New Testament. God was really mean and wrathful in the Old Testament, but then the Jesus guy came along and he made God nice again. A lot of people think that. Then, of course, some of our leading atheists who are out there, like Sam Harris, comes to mind. While I do believe he is truly an atheist, some of his arguments, he actually attacks the Bible as being ludicrous, where it's not necessarily an argument of whether or not God exists, but he just thinks that the God that is depicted in the Bible is just obviously terrible and horrible. And how can people actually want to pray to this God? This is why we don't want to be ashamed of our God in the face of people in this world, and we don't want to be ashamed of His law, His commandments. Because what's interesting is that you will see people and you will hear them. I actually had neighbors this week who aren't Christian, but they were talking about some of their fears and their struggles in this world. Somebody actually said to me, you know, my biggest issue this week is that my little boy said to me, Mom, I'm probably going to outlive you unless somebody brings a gun to school. We had somebody who had mentioned being very afraid and scared because someone in our brand new neighborhood that's being built saw on their little camera that they have, their security camera that they have now, I forget what those things are called, I'm trying to blank on them, but they saw someone walking, testing all the doors, seeing if something was unlocked. And for the first time since they moved into their new house, they felt afraid to be there. Right? And they talk about the world and how, man, just what is happening right now? And I'm just in there quietly because I know that they're not ready for me to say this publicly. I need to probably pray for them more and talk to them more on an individual one-on-one basis. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, are you really asking a theologian, a pastor, what's wrong with this world? Because I'll give you the answer. It's godlessness. You're thirsting for His righteousness. You want His righteousness, but you don't want Him. Right? No one wants to feel afraid. No one wants to be violated. Everybody wants to feel secure. And you know what? God wants you to be secure in Him, right? And so our answer when we hear the criticism of God and how He acted in the Old Testament or what He did or what His will isn't to cower back and say, well, I want a lesson. You know, interpretations change and you know, Christianity is progressing now and we're getting better than we were. No. We can't be like that. Jesus said, as He preached the sermon, do not wrest my law. Whoever wrests the least of my laws is going to be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever follows them and teaches them will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. 90% of the things that God says for His people to do in the Bible, people are okay with. They really want that. They just don't want God. And yes, there is the whole, you know, we are totally countercultural when it comes to how we view marriage and sexual relationships and things like that. Sure, we are way different. And the temptation is for us to rest back on that a little bit because we don't want to be mean. Remember, there's a difference between giving offense and being offensive and someone taking offense because of our because of the way that we live and what we teach and believe to be true. And if we're going to be the salt of the earth and shine a light, we're not going to shine that light by relaxing God's will. So not only are we supposed to follow God's will, not only is it important for a Christian to marry someone of the opposite sex, to be righteous, but in how we live, it's important for those Christians to love each other in that relationship, right? And to demonstrate that not only are we looking good, shining this light of what is true, but we're truly shining this light, truly being salt. Because we're not just going through the motions, right? Jesus puts a big dig on the chief priests and the Pharisees. And he tells the people listening, he says, unless you are more righteous than the Pharisees and the chief priests, you will not make it to the kingdom of heaven. And so it's like, it's an interesting dig there, because he's saying, like, you have to be more righteous than them. And everybody looked at the chief priests and Pharisees and says, they're pretty righteous. But what Jesus is saying is actually the chief priests and the Pharisees, they're self-righteous. They like to look good and look holy. They are very self-important. And they want people to, you know, kiss up to them because of who they are. Jesus is saying, your righteousness is in how you love. How you love. God's law has three uses. There is that aspect of that first use of, yes, you're God, and you told me so, and what you say goes. Right? And so, I want to keep the speed limit when I drive my car, because if I don't, I'm going to get a ticket, right? There's that fear, that aspect of, I'm going to follow God's law because it's a warning, right? Don't do this or you're going to mess up. Number two, and this is the one that we completely get as those who thirst for righteousness. We break God's law, right? And this is why we don't live by the law. We live by grace. And because we can't take up God's law ourselves, we look to Jesus. And this is where we have to be different. This is where we are different from many other religions. Right? If you just follow the law, you are working on your own righteousness. God, look at me. Did I do good? Will you save me? Will you bless me? Islam, the nations run by Islam, you see a lot of low street crime there because their punishments are so harsh, right? You steal something and your hand's going to get cut off. And not only do you lose your limb, but you're forever marked as a thief in that society. Everybody that sees you with one arm is going to know exactly what you did. There's no grace.
Not like you.
Only fear, right? Don't touch that broom. Don't touch that dustpan. Or else you're going to get not a point if OSHA comes by.
Should something happen with that, I think.
But leave the glass right there, broken on the floor for someone to get cut. We shine that light of grace. We do not hate the sinners around us, but understand that they see the world differently because they don't know Jesus. And they think they are righteous. And that's why sometimes when you hear somebody say, the God of the Old Testament is so evil and wicked, sometimes you got to sit back and just say, I'm not going to throw my pearls before swine. I'm not going to tell them that they're wrong. But I have to show them a better way. I have to shine God's light. I have to be the salt of the world. And that takes us to the third use of the law, which is the gospel. We have been saved by grace. We have life because Jesus Christ gave us life. We've been baptized into a death like his. We've been buried with him. And just as we've been baptized into a death like his, so we are baptized into his resurrection. We, children of God, are a new creation. We are a new creation. We are different. God is working on making us more righteous than we were even yesterday. He is changing us. He has called us to be his people. Before, many of you who were raised in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, you were baptized as a baby. Before you had any idea what God's laws were, before you even knew what a commandment was, you were already saved by grace through faith as Christ came to you in that water, as the Holy Spirit came to you in the water and the word, right? When God first gave the law to the Israelites on Mount Sinai, he had already saved them from Egypt. He didn't say, follow these rules and I will save you from Pharaoh. He said, I am the Lord your God who took you out of captivity. You shall have no other gods before me. And so, in response, because of what God has done for us, we want to, because he first loved us, because he set us free from Satan, we shine that light. Not to look good, but to love. There's the letter of the law, and there's the spirit of the law. The letter of the law, I want to look good, but I want to do the least that I can to look good, right? I'm busy. So, you know, I'll quickly just throw a few dollars at somebody and be on my way. But the spirit of the law is taking that time and loving and building relationship and showing. It's not just telling them. And yes, you are going to run into people who just aren't going to want to hear what you have to say. They are not thirsting for righteousness. They're going to be stuck on believing that our God is evil and wretched. And they might think that you're evil and wretched because you believe in him. But there are others who may recognize, you know what? I am struggling. And I do want to see a better way. And I do see that the world is broken. And it's not the law that's going to save them. No, it's the grace of Jesus Christ. But in us taking care of God's law, we can shine Christ's light. And we can be that salt that preserves what is good and gives flavor to the bitter world. Yeah, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of brokenness. But how much more does Christ's light shine? Because you are ready and willing to go out and love those who are broken, those who are thirsty to be loved. And why? Because in your brokenness, Jesus first loves you. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.